So, much like Nathan's message, this study it started off as a personal study for me, one that took years to work on and to put together. I'm not saying it's that good, I'm just saying I'm really slow. But what this is about is unanswered prayer. Now, I'm sure we have all, many times we've all asked our Heavenly Father for things, and many times He has granted our requests. In fact, I love hearing stories about miraculous healings and interventions in the lives of our brethren. They make great stories. So if any of you have some of those you'd like to share with me later, feel free, because like I said, I really enjoy those. But then there are the times that we have asked for things and been denied. And as Nathan was going through, this can be a bit of a distraction. It can leave us wondering why. And it can definitely take our focus off of our Creator and kind of leave us stumped. So maybe it was healing for a loved one, or the return of a prodigal child. Maybe it was a shiny new car or a spouse. Whatever it was, when the answer is no, how do we handle that? What about all the promises in the Bible? Is it because our faith wasn't strong enough? Or is it because we committed a sin and our Father doesn't hear us? Or is it something else entirely? So, like I said, these are questions I have asked, and after studying the subject, I would like to share my findings with you and hopefully get some different perspectives, if possible. So, a little bit of a disclaimer here. There's going to be a lot of scriptures. I'm not sorry for that. But we will get started in Mark chapter 11. There we go. Okay, so Yeshua answered and said to them, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Now, I doubt that our Heavenly Father is all that interested in rearranging our local geography on our whim. So I think this is more figuratively speaking. You know, if we have mountains in our lives, a big problem we're dealing with in a relationship or at work, the power to throw that mountain into the sea, just make it disappear. This verse makes it sound as if we have tremendous power at our disposal, and all we have to do is believe that this is the case. But let's move on. And by the way, that account is echoed in Matthew 21, if you want another rendering of it. But next, let's go to John chapter 14, verse 12. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." This is getting better and better. "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." And then in John chapter 15, verse 16, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." And continuing on, in John chapter 16, verse 23, "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Now, this is Yeshua himself speaking, and it seems pretty clear what he's saying. Again, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And then in John chapter 15, verse 7, he says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you." This is incredible, right? But wait, there's more. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19. "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." And I know a lot of these are kind of redundant, but I have to go through all of these because if I don't, then somebody will say, "Wait, you missed one." So there's another one that is in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. "And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." This is amazing. I'll take one of these. I'll take one of those. Maybe one of these. And who doesn't want that? There are so many scriptures all saying pretty much the same thing. Whatever we ask of the Father, he will give us. So the question is that what a good father would do? We know that our Father is a good father. Is that what a good father would do for his children? Well, no. That would create children that are selfish monsters. It seems that these scriptures that we have read are only half of the story. So let's look at the other half. If we go over to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Now, notice that he will give good things to those who ask him. In this verse we have here, with the example of the son asking for bread, that's food, that's a good thing. What kind of a parent would give him something bad for food? Nobody's going to want to eat a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you ask our Father to make you a rock star in Hollywood, California, with a big old mansion, would that be a good gift? I would say no. If a child has a responsible parent and that child asks for a bucket full of candy, would the parent give it to them? No, that would not be a good gift. Sorry, kids, but no. So let's look at some more scriptures. In Psalm chapter 84 and verse 11, it says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." So here we have the example of grace and glory. I think we can all agree that both of those are good things. And then in Psalm 34 and verse 10, it says, "The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." In Psalm 37 and verse 4, it says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday." In James chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom," and that's the good thing here, wisdom, "let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." So here we have a direct promise. if any of you lacks wisdom, it will be given to him. Wisdom is always a good thing. It doesn't say if any of you asks for that stack of money, it will be given to him. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom. So here we have a promise that we can stand on. There's no ifs, ands, or buts in this statement. It just promises that that he will give us wisdom if we ask. And then in Proverbs 18 and verse 22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And as I think was already mentioned earlier in this feast, has to be a good wife. But moving on. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 53, says, he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Now, as we can see, all of these passages put the emphasis on good things. So next, let's look at some examples in the Bible of prayers for good things being answered. We're going to look at all prayers for all of these things being answered: healing for others, a sign, return of a messenger, strength to destroy enemies, a son, wisdom, resurrection of a child, punishment of evil, revealing of guardian angels and blindness of enemy, deliverance from the Assyrians, personal healing to not cause pain for others, guidance on a journey, favor in a foreign king's eyes, and deliverance from death. These are all good things that we have examples of in the Bible. So the first one is in Genesis chapter 20, verse 17. Now, I'm sure we all know the story when Abraham and Sarah kind of told a half-truth about their relationship, and so Abimelech took Sarah to be part of his harem, and they were plagued because of it. But then Abimelech repented of that, and so Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants. Then they bore children. So here we have an example of a prayer being answered. This is a prayer for healing for others. Request granted. The next one is in Genesis chapter 24, verse 12. And this is Abraham's servant's prayer for a sign when seeking a wife for Isaac. Now, he prayed for a very specific sign with the young lady coming out to draw water for the camels. And this sign was deemed to be a good thing by our Creator, and it was granted. And then in Judges chapter 6, verse 36, we have Gideon praying for a sign using a fleece. And I'm sure we all know this story, but again, here is a prayer for a sign, and this is a good thing, and this request was granted. And then in Judges chapter 13, verse 8 and 9, we have Manoah's prayer for the return of a messenger. Now, Manoah was the father of Samson, and he had been visited by a messenger, probably an angel, and told about Samson's birth, but he wanted more details, so he wanted the guy to come back, and that was granted to him. And then, in Judges chapter 16, verse 28, we have Samson's prayer for strength to destroy enemies. Now, this is also a good thing. It may sound a little off to us today to pray for strength to destroy enemies, but then when you think about Nathan's message and the enemies that we are facing, those enemies, one of those can be distractions, and praying for strength to help defeat that is definitely something we should be doing. And then we have David. Now, the Psalms are full of his prayers for deliverance. Most of them were turned into songs, but there are so many numerous examples in the life of David that I just kind of skipped over him. But we'll move on to 1 Kings chapter 3. We will 1 Samuel chapter 1. This is Hannah's prayer for a son. She was the mother of Samuel, and this was a good request, and so it was granted. And then in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 15, we have Solomon's prayer for wisdom. And as we read earlier, if you pray for wisdom, it will be granted. And it was granted to Solomon. Moving on, in 1 Kings chapter 17, we have Elijah's prayer for the resurrection of a child. And I'm sure we can all agree that this would be a good thing. And our father agreed as well. Request granted. And then in James, well, we have Elijah's prayer for the punishment of evil. And this is referenced in James chapter 5 and verse 17, just speaking about the drought that he called on the nation of Israel. And this request was also granted. And then in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 15, we have Elijah's prayer for the revealing of guardian angels to his servant and the enemy armies to be smote with blindness. So, again, request granted. And then in 2 Kings chapter 19, we have Hezekiah's prayer for deliverance from the Assyrians. Again, request granted. And this can carry over into our lives as well. It's not just about those pesky Assyrians. It's about enemies in general, spiritual enemies. I think a prayer for deliverance from spiritual enemies would always be granted. And then in 2 Kings chapter 20, we have Hezekiah's prayer for personal healing. And I'm sure we all know the story. He was sick, and he was told that he was going to die, to get his house in order, that he was going to die. And so he was kind of upset by that, and he begged our Creator for more time, and it was granted to him. So here we have a prayer for personal healing, and this was granted. And then in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9, we have Jabez's prayer that he would not live up to his name and cause pain for others. Request granted. In Ezra chapter 8 and verse 21, we have Ezra's prayer for guidance on a journey, because they were going to the land of Israel, and they had not passed that way before, and there were raiders, and he wanted guidance on this journey. And I'm sure a lot of us, when we were coming here to the feast, we asked for protection on the journey here, and as we can see looking around us, that prayer was granted. We're all here safe and sound. So that's a good thing. Request granted. And then there is, in Nehemiah, he was praying for favor in a foreign king's eyes. And again, request granted. And then we have Jonah's prayer for deliverance from death. In Jonah chapter 2 and verse 1. Request granted. And then, moving on to Acts chapter 12. In verse 5, we have the congregation's prayers for Peter after Herod arrested him. Now, we're not told exactly what they prayed, but I can assume that they were praying for him to be released safe and sound. And as we know, that prayer was also granted. So these are all pretty encouraging. Then we have Paul's prayer for personal healing in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So let's turn to that one. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So here we have Paul asking for personal healing. This is really no different than Hezekiah. Healing was granted to Hezekiah, but it was denied to Paul. But by the time that Paul wrote this account, he had realized that the spiritual gain was greater by the answer being no than the physical gain would have been had the answer been yes. The spiritual is far more important than the physical, and the Almighty had the best outcome in mind. We're all temporal. We're all going to die. So it's our character that we are building that matters. And then we have David's prayer for healing for his son in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 13. And we all know the story that led up to this. So David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die." Then Nathan departed to his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. David therefore pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. So the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. Then on the seventh day it came to pass that the child died. So what was the good in this situation? David had tons and tons of prayers answered before, prayers for deliverance from his enemies, deliverance from Saul and Absalom. All kinds of people wanted to kill David. And those prayers were always granted, but why not this one? What was the good in this situation? What was the good in his son dying? Could it be that David's petition was denied to show the enemies of our God that his servants do not have a free pass to commit adultery and murder? Or perhaps because the child was illegitimate, he cannot be heir to the throne through which Yah's covenant with David would be established? Or maybe the good that came out of this was the change of heart expressed by David in Psalm 51. Maybe all of the above. But as with the Apostle Paul, we can be sure that our Father had the best result in mind. So with these examples, we can see that some of the petitions that seem good to us also seem good to the Almighty, and the answer is yes. And other petitions that seem good to us, he knows would be less beneficial in the long run, and the answer is no. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, this is one of my favorite scriptures. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." So we have a very merciful Creator. He wants our good. And he is far wiser than we are. And then in Romans chapter 9, verse 20, "But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, 'Why have you made me like this?' Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor?" Now, we must also bear in mind that what is good for one person may not be good for another. As I mentioned before, healing was granted to Hezekiah, but it was denied the Apostle Paul. And to us, this may not seem fair. But in Psalm chapter 33, verse 14, it says, "From the place of his dwelling he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all of their works." Now, we have gone through plentiful scriptures telling us that we can ask for whatever we want, and scriptures telling us that no good thing will be withheld. Then we looked at examples of prayers for good things being granted and other petitions denied. The decision belongs to our Father alone. So this is where faith comes in. We can have faith that our Father will do what is best for us. In Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 28, one of my all-time favorite scriptures. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." So we should not have faith that anything we ask for will be given to us. Because if we ask for something that would not be good for us, and the answer is no, then that destroys our concept of faith. Remember, our Father never promised to give us bad gifts. So now, let us consider what we should and should not do in asking for personal favors from the Almighty. We should have faith that our Father will do what he says he will do. There are countless examples of this in Scripture. Our Father cannot lie. And as we read earlier in James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." So we can have faith that he will do what he says he will do. Now, we also should not yield to craving. We have a great example of this in Numbers chapter 11, verse 4. "Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes.'" And then moving down to verse 33, "But while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. So he called the name of the place Kibroth Hatta'avah, because there they buried the people who had yielded to craving." That's a very sobering lesson. The word for craving here is Strong's number 183, and it means to wish for, covet, greatly desire, long for, lust after. Now, we know from the 10th commandment that this is a no-no, so we shouldn't do that. We should also be persistent, as instructed in Luke chapter 11, with the parable of the guy trying to get food out of his neighbor in the middle of the night. But we should not crave something so badly that we will not take no for an answer. We shouldn't act like a spoiled brat. We should also not ask for selfish things, such as riches or fame. King Solomon won Yah's favor by asking for wisdom to help others and not for personal riches. Now, given the response he got from our Father, given his reaction, you might think that what Solomon did not ask for was a pretty popular request. In James chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "You lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have, because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." Now, what is known as the prayer of Jabez has become quite popular in some circles. The idea behind it is that if you pray what he prayed, then our Father is obligated to bless you with prosperity. But that's not quite what it's about. So, in 1 Chronicles, in chapter 4, it says, "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in pain.'" Now, Jabez means "he will cause pain." That's not a very nice name, but that was what he was expected to live up to in his life, and he didn't like that. "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil.'" That's a good request. "That I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. Jabez asked for prosperity so that he would not cause harm, not merely because that was easier than working for a living. Now, a great example of the attitude we should have can be found in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7. Two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. And finally, we should be thankful in our life and in our prayers. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Messiah Yeshua. So, when it comes to asking for personal favors from the Almighty, we should have faith and not yield to craving. We should be persistent, but not be greedy. We should be thankful, and we should be willing to accept no as an answer, because we don't know everything. We don't know what He's working out in our lives. It is perfectly acceptable to ask our Father for personal favors, but we should follow Yeshua's example in prayer as He prayed, saying in Luke chapter 22 and verse 42, Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. I think that's a good thing for all of us to pray when we're pray for when we are asking for personal favors. And I want to close with one final scripture, and that is 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. So, that's all I have. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free.
Yeah, one of my favorite Garth Brooks songs has a husband and wife meeting his old high school sweetheart at the fair. And the song winds up with the melody going, Thank God for unanswered prayers. I think that Joel Osteen needs to listen to that song and to your sermon. Thank you.
Anybody else? All right, I believe we have some more music.